there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined on this Tuesday morning by Joey P. and by Andrew Erickson. Fellas, we are talking about some predictions for Week 15. It is the fantasy playoffs in most leagues. So for everybody watching, hopefully you made the playoffs in as many leagues as possible. Even if you didn't, you can keep watching the show, get some prop bets that you might want to throw down this week, and still pay attention to the slate and have some fun. Or if you're doing any sort of DFS, we'll try and give you our best predictions here. Guys, we had two Monday Night Football games last night. The question must be asked, and Joey P., I'll start with you. Should the Giants build around Tommy DeVito?
The Giants should build around Tommy DeVito, and Tommy DeVito's agent should be running for governor of New Jersey. That guy is just unbelievable. I thought I was the most Italian person I've ever met or seen. Turns out I was wrong. It's that guy. I just did a TikTok about it. Go watch it. Fantasy Pro Joe on the TikTok machine. It's on our FP and our PP feeds too. But yeah, you know what? They're having a good time for a team that's going in a bad direction this season. It seems like the season's not lost and they're having some fun. I just wish I had bet both of the underdogs last night, because if you did, you would have made an absolute killing if you put those two things together. But who'd have thought we would have gotten what we got on those Monday nights?
Yeah, Erickson, how strange that a guy named Tommy Cutlets winning wasn't even the biggest upset of the night. It was the Titans coming back against the Dolphins from down two touchdowns with under 5 minutes to go. Do you have any takeaways from that really major upset?
I mean, everything that could have gone wrong for the Dolphins pretty much did. Like, all their players were getting hurt, their offensive line, they were shifting guys. Tyreek Hill basically didn't play a lot of the first half. I mean, we saw limited parts of him. If anything, it bolstered the case for Tyreek Hill to be the MVP, because the Dolphins couldn't score or move the ball when Terry Hill wasn't on the field. So, again, they got a pick six. Like, that was one of their touchdowns in the first half, was a pick six, not their offense actually scoring. So, concerns about the Dolphins as long as Terry Hill is okay. We should be good there. But, yeah, no, just a crazy Monday night doubleheader. You know, the league's going to look at this and be like, hey, we got to have more double night Monday night football headers if this is the way that things kind of play out.
I do wish they would stagger them by like an hour at least. I don't need the like 7 o'clock start time, 10 o'clock start time, but like, I would at least like to not have them both, you know, going to halftime at the same time. Kicking off right at the same moment was not really my favorite. Erickson, how did your predictions last week go?
I don't know. What were my predictions last week? I mean, I did so many predictions throughout this week. I do props. I do start sits. So again,
that sounds like somebody who doesn't want to own it. I'll own mine. I started off red hot. I got the under on the Pittsburgh Steelers running backs. Nobody getting near sniffing 50 yards. After that, it was downhill. It was Russell Wilson was good, but not my 300 good. But yeah, it was a disappointing week for my prediction. So I'll take the L. I had some injuries, but I also had some bad performances there. Kamara didn't get at his level where I thought he might get. So unlike Erickson, who all of a sudden can't remember his predictions,
I really can't remember
mine. They weren't great.
Did I talk about Josh Jacobs on the show?
You had the Falcons winning at home, which I know you missed.
That was our prop show. No. Even though Desmond played really well, they did lose, which is bizarre.
We could easily look this up. I'm just going to assume that you missed on all of them and you're looking for a bounce back.
2 weeks ago, everybody got injured, and I was like, okay, that's true. That's true.
Well, let's jump into our week 15 predictions here. And Erickson, start us off with your number five.
I'm just going to continue to fade running backs that play the Minnesota Vikings. So Joe Mixon, whatever his rushing yards prop is going to be, I'm taking the under, because you can't run the ball on the Minnesota Vikings. Number one run defense in terms of rushing yards allowed per game to running backs. One running back this season has 70-plus rushing yards against them. Josh Jacobs got injured against the Vikings, but there was no way he was even going to come close to reaching his rushing yardage prop. So whether this opens around 70 rushing yards just kind of based on what Mixon's done, because Mixon's been productive the last couple of weeks with Jake Browning playing above expectation, I think that the line's going to open up pretty high, and I'm just going to shoot for the under because I just hate the matchup for Joe Mixon on the ground against the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Flores' defense that is just like firing on all cylinders right now. It should be an interesting game on Saturday to watch to see how Jake Browning responds to probably the toughest defense he has faced to date.
Yeah, Joe, I want to get your opinion, not just on, you know, the actual prediction of Joe Mixon under 71 and a half rushing yards, but on Browning, too, because he has been such a revelation the last 2 weeks, even for fantasy managers. But he hasn't faced a defense quite like Minnesota's yet.
He hasn't. But at the same time, you got to love what he's done, especially rushing a little bit, too. Getting those rushing touchdowns has been enormous for him. He was my favorite DFS quarterback last week on the Betting Pros DFS show that we do on that feed. And he returned value again. And the nice thing, too, is, you know, he's looking for Jamar Chase. You know, he's trying to get the ball there. But he started to spread it around a little bit, which I thought was really interesting. I think the Bengals are dangerous because they are playing with house money right now. They have no more expectations, right? Joe Burrow got hurt. All expectations were thrown out the window. And now they're a team that's just like, hey, we're not supposed to be here. And that is very dangerous. And I feel like on the other side, Minnesota is a team that had a lot of expectations. And I thought everything was going to get better when Jefferson came back. And then things somehow got worse. So I don't know here. I think Minnesota is playing awful tight. I think that you got a situation here where Cincinnati is very dangerous in this game.
Joe, let's stick with you here for your number five prediction on the week.
I had to do a complete U-turn on this first one because I was all feeling Jordan Love. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming into town. And in case you didn't realize, they've allowed the second most passing yards given up in all of the NFL. 3,677. That is a lot, my friends, for just 14 weeks now, or even 13 games. Now you've got a situation where Christian Watson, we're not sure we're going to get out of him. Dontavian Wicks, he got hurt last night, probably a high ankle, so you're probably not going to see him for a while. You also had Jaden Reed go into concussion protocol. So the perfect storm now is really descending upon Jordan Love at the worst time, where this is an opportunity you would think where, okay, Jordan Love, great matchup here. The guy had been so good. You know, we can take what we want out of the hiccup of last night's game on Monday Night Football. But now it's a whole different picture. So I would be going under 200 yards passing for this man right now in this game. And the last time that happened was week 7, where he had 180 against a Denver defense on the road. And this game is at home. Like I said, this was something where I was looking for Jordan Love to have a huge game. And now I'm going to go the exact opposite. So in the prop market, I imagine this number maybe come out probably around 230 and a half, which I think is way too high. So I would go under that one. It might even come out particularly maybe at 215 and a half if people are really fading with all these receivers being hurt, because now you're not giving him enough weapons to really work this offense. And although Tampa has struggled in that secondary, Tampa, I think, can still do enough defensively to hang in this game. So Jordan Love's value, I think, week over week in just 24 hours has really changed dramatically.
Erickson, what do you make of the Green Bay offense here, not just in this matchup, but the current state of it being as banged up as it is?
Play Tucker Kraft. That's the move. Tampa Bay can't stop tight ends. You're looking for a tight end streamer this week. Tucker Kraft's your guy. If all these receivers are hurt, where's the ball going to go? You know who led the team in receiving yards, even though he only had 4 targets? Tucker Kraft. Jaden Reed had 12 targets, but was getting dump offs left and right. Tucker Kraft was the guy that made the big plays down the field. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but like Romeo Doubs, like I know that he's super inconsistent and he has stone hands, but if he's going to be out there running 100% of the routes against a pretty bad Buccaneers defense, he's going to get targets and he's going to get opportunities to put up fantasy points. So a lot of people have soured on Doubs, me, myself included. But if there's no Watson, there's no Reed, like he's the next man up, and he has been one of Jordan Love's favorite targets in the red zone.
It feels so wrong that these two teams are both currently in the playoffs in the NFC right now. I mean, they're both under 500. Obviously, the NFC South division champ is just going to be what it is, whoever it ends up being. But Green Bay is in as a wild card despite being under 500. That is insane. Who do you think comes out?
I think the thing that's funny about it, too, is like they're going to host the Cowboys. Like whatever team is going to just host Dallas, probably, and they're just going to get killed because Dallas is going to be like 10-point road favorites against the winner of the NFC South.
Yeah, it's wild. Who do you think is going to be the last couple of teams in, Joe, in the NFC?
NFC is trickier, and I feel like every week it changes because now you're looking at a scenario, as you said, like, okay, all these injuries that have happened. I thought Green Bay, actually, I think, hey, you're going to go out there, handle your business against the Giants.
Yeah.
Now we're starting to push up, right? We're trying to get the Atlanta Falcons to handle their business, right? And they lose a home game there that they should not lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And now they got to go on the road this week. And that's not been a good special sauce for them. So it is so wide open. It's funny, though, because you have the NFC, which is very top heavy. You have the big three, in my opinion. You have Dallas, you have the 49ers, and you have the Eagles. And they are on a tier unto themselves. The rest of that NFC is kind of a cluster. And then the AFC is one giant cluster. And we asked ourselves on the Betting Pro Show yesterday, is Miami that team? Like, can they finally start beating teams that are better than them? And after last night, I think we can answer the question. Miami's not that team either. So somebody's going to get hot. Sam brought up Cleveland at 35-1 to win And I think that's a really interesting one, because if they get hot with that defense and Joe Flacco and they start to believe, who knows, maybe Cleveland could run the table of all teams.
Flacco's won a few road playoff games in his day. I was cheering on all of them. It is hard to believe we're here in week 15, this deep in the NFL season. We've got to make every second count. With DraftKings Sportsbook, you can make the most out of every game day. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on any matchup. We are at the time of year where we've got some Saturday games to watch this week, plus a couple of standout games as always on Sunday. This week finishes particularly strong with Cowboys-Bills Sunday afternoon, Ravens-Jaguars Sunday night, and Eagles-Seahawks on Monday Night Football. DraftKings has Dallas getting 1.5 on the road in Buffalo in what should be the game of the week. It's also tied for the highest total at 48.5. However you plan to bet that one, get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Erickson, give me your number 4 prediction.
All right, before that, though, I want to say, I do want to rehab. I did find my predictions from last week, so I'll go through them very quickly, because I can see the YouTube comments coming in now with like, Erickson doesn't own up to his. I went positive. I was 3-2 last week, so I was in the green. Zach Moss did not come through. I was right about the Texans being horrible against the Jets. Nico Collins got hurt, though, and CJ Stroud came nowhere near his passing yardage prop. Elijah Moore got over 40 yards against the Jags. He didn't have a great game, but still got over 40 yards. Drake London had a massive game against the Bucs. I was right about that. But then Gibbs did not come through with his receiving. He actually was better as a rusher against the Bears, which is kind of surprising. But 3-2. So we're going to run it back. We're going to go 5-0 this week. So my next one here, number 4, is Josh Downs, Colts wide receiver. Look, he's been kind of disappointing the last couple weeks, but I think that he's going to have a big game here. He's going to go over his receiving yards mark, which I think will probably open around 39.5 yards, because he's kind of been quiet over the last couple weeks. We've been seeing more of Alec Pierce just kind of ripping off some of the big plays in the Colts offense. But the one thing I know about when you face the Steelers defense, even we saw it last week, Juju Smith-Schuster had a big game because he's a slot receiver against the Steelers. The Steelers are the worst team in terms of allowing points to slot receivers. Fourth most fantasy points allowed to slot receivers, first fourth fewest points allowed to perimeter receivers. So again, they're very strong on the boundary. Joey Porter Jr. is balling out, but inside in the slot, that's where they can be attacked. I think that Shane Steichen is going to take advantage of that with Josh Downs. So I think that he's going to have a big game here. So I know that we've kind of soured on him the last couple of weeks. He hasn't put up the production, but you know, it was only a few weeks ago that he was matching Michael Pittman in terms of seeing a ton of targets in this offense. So I like Josh Downs to bounce back here and be a top 24 wide receiver in week 15.
Joe, where do you have Josh Downs, or where do you think you'll have him ranked by the time we get to the end of the week? In the expert consensus, he's way down. He's wide receiver 41. It's still extremely early in the week, so that will probably change a bit. But Erickson obviously going to be above consensus.
It will, but I don't know how further it's going to go. I mean, I think the big question is, too, you know, how some guys like the Jacoby Myers of the world, like if we get Garoppolo, because I heard there's some rumors this morning that maybe Aiden O'Connell does not start next week all of a sudden because the Raiders think, hey, you know, why not us? If we could just win a couple games here, maybe we could figure things out. You also can't get shut out in the National Football League. I think that was a personal affront that they took there. So there could be some movement, the quarterback position, and also some guys getting dropped depending on who's a quarterback and some guys getting elevated. So I think he's probably going to hover somewhere around 40 in the expert consensus. I don't see him getting over guys necessarily like T. Higgins or even Odell Beckham, but I could see him scratching that wide receiver 3 territory. But Pittman's still that guy for me, and Pittman's one of these investments I think we'll look next year, and with Anthony Richardson, we're all going to be very excited to see Michael Pittman and what he could do.
Let's stick with you, Joe, for your next prediction.
Well, this next prediction goes to the Los Angeles Rams, who took your Baltimore Ravens to the limit. I know you
Very much so.
I was a little worried about you on Sunday. I had to do the wellness check on Ryan to make sure he was okay after that Ravens game. But I'm going to predict that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua both go under over 100 yards receiving in this game. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound too bold, except the fact that it hasn't happened once all year, whether it be injuries or performance or the fact that one guy tends to dominate sometimes. But the reason being for this is twofold. Number one, they're getting the Washington Commanders, and the Commanders are dreadful against the pass. Fourth most passing yards allowed this year, over 3,600 already. And if you're looking right now at, I think, any of the film that you saw last week from Matthew Stafford, to me, that was the best he looked all year. He looked healthy. He looked spot on.
He was Cooper amazing. Kupp,
he did. He really was. It was like vintage Matthew Stafford. Yeah. So I'm looking at this Washington defense, and not only is the secondary bad, but when you don't have Chase Young or Montez Sweat or any of those guys attacking the quarterback, now you're giving Stafford a lot of time in the pocket, and I think he is going to absolutely pick them apart, and I think you have a huge coaching advantage, too, with McVay over Ron Rivera and what they've got right now. So to me, I think this is a huge potential game for the Rams. You can be betting the individual team total, I think, over whatever it ends up being posted as, even if it's as high as something like, you know, 24 or something like that. I think you might want to go even over that. But the individuals, I imagine we're going to get cups somewhere around 80.5. Probably the anytime touchdown, somewhere around plus 110. I think it's going to be a low number. It could even be minus, but I would still bet it anyway, and I would pair it with the over in the receiving. And with Puka, his number is going to be always less than Kupp, but that makes it even better to invest in. So his will probably be somewhere around 70.5, somewhere in that range, give or take a few yards. His touchdown equity, I think, will be a better number too, plus 175, maybe even plus 200 in some spots. You might get it at. And then Stafford, 260.5. I would go over on his passing yards. I think this is going to be a huge day for Stafford and the Rams, and I think you can make a lot of money off this one.
I was really surprised at your nugget that has not happened once this season. It feels like we've had all these great, you know, Kupp has obviously had his ups and downs, started off hot when he came back from the injury, then was down for a while, been getting better recently. Puka's been great for most of the year. I was shocked that they haven't both gone over 100 in the same game yet this season. I love this call. Stafford was unreal in this game. Like, when you consider the weather, when you consider the defense he was going against, like, that was one of the best quarterback games in a loss that I think I've seen all season. And I don't know if you saw the broadcaster, I forget who it was, whoever was calling the game, had a great, he called him the ellipsis because he had dot, 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 just throwing dots all around the field.
He was great, man.
A great call. He was really awesome. Erickson, Kupp over, Nacua over, Stafford over. Do you like all these as well?
Probably not as much as Joe does. I think that, I mean, are we being a little bit more of a prisoners in the moment? I mean, they had one good passing game. Like, this Rams offense has not been great for the most of the season. Mm-hmm. Is Cooper Kupp now finally healthy? Like, that's the only thing
I think he looked healthiest that I've seen him. And to your point, it's not a prisoner of the moment, but this might be the last chance where you get those numbers artificially low because, to Erickson's point, which is, are we going to really buy too much and copy and paste? No, not necessarily. But Washington, if anybody out there can help you copy and paste last week for Stafford, it's Washington. So I think you take advantage of the fact this might be the last time you see these numbers set so low. So the over becomes a little bit of an easier investment.
My one concern, I guess I would say, is I still think, and Worm, correct me if I'm wrong, you were obviously watching that game very closely. The Rams still want to run the ball. Like, didn't they come out and run the ball nine straight times?
They did. They started the game. They ran, like, I think it was nine straight plays to get inside the 10, and then they threw three straight times and didn't get in the end zone. And then they were a little more even the rest of the game. They ran the ball very well. I mean, Kyron Williams is, like,
but my kind of interesting nugget on this game, whereas, like, yeah, you can throw the ball on the Commanders, but you can also run the ball on the Commanders, too. Like, I think Kyron Williams may kind of, like, fly under the radar, whether it's in DFS, whether it's his props, where everyone's attacking the Commanders secondary, which, yeah, it makes sense. But Sean McVay, like, wants to run the football. And if they're running the ball effectively, maybe it's Kyron Williams that actually has the massive game, and he's been more consistent than Cooper Kupp has been all season long. You know, Kyron Williams gets 25 carries, like, every single week and goes over 100 rushing yards. So maybe that's the way I'd approach it. But obviously, the Commanders' defense, their secondary is absolutely atrocious, so I would not be surprised if Stafford balls out with these two receivers.
I think you can sort of question, like, where the touchdowns are going to go. Like, maybe Kyron does get in the he didn't get in the end zone in this last game. Maybe it's him that's scoring this week. But I think the yardage is going to be there for everybody. They have such a narrow passing tree. Like, they're Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are going to get a lot of yards.
Well, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, dude, got 10 targets last week. Maybe that's not true. As narrow as you think.
That's true. Davis Allen actually looked pretty good, too. They're fifth-round tight end. Maybe they have another fifth-round rookie stud that we've unearthed here, even though it's just one game. Let's move on to the next
prediction.
I just
want to get this straight. So you don't want to copy and paste good Cooper Kupp, but you want to copy and paste DeMarcus Robinson. Okay, I just want to set the record straight.
No, I'm just saying that they're spreading the ball out more.
No, that's on the record.
I just want to leave that for the record. Okay.
If you haven't heard about Whatnot yet, allow me to introduce you to this incredible platform. Whatnot is the world's leading live shopping platform, often described as a unique blend of eBay and Twitch. Here's how it works. Streamers go live to conduct auctions where they sell a wide range of items, including sports cards, jerseys, sneakers, and much more. Recently in the hobby of sports card collecting, the highly anticipated NFL product Flawless was released. It's been making waves in the hobby, with cards worth six figures or more being pulled on a daily basis. One player I think is going to have a really good week in week 15, based on zero evidence whatsoever, is Gabe Davis. He either goes off or he gives you a goose egg. They're playing the Cowboys. It's not an easy matchup, but this is the Gabe Davis roller coaster. I'm planting my flag and saying he's going to have a great game this week, again, based on very little statistical evidence. And when on Whatnot, you can invest in Gabe Davis or any other player you think will do well just by purchasing his card. You can snag a $10 discount on your first purchase by going to fantasypros.com/whatnot and signing up. Don't miss out on this exciting opportunity. Again, sign up when you go to fantasypros.com/whatnot to redeem your $10 discount. The link will also be in the description. Erickson, give me your number three prediction.
Bijan Robinson is going to score 20-plus fantasy points this week against the Carolina Panthers because he's fantasy in the Carolina Panthers. Do we need any more analysis than that? I mean, the NFL's worst run defense against the team that wants to run the football more than anybody else, and it's the only reason I could potentially back the Falcons in this spot. They are on the road, which I hate backing Desmond Ridder on the road, but the fact that Desmond Ridder could maybe not throw the ball at all, like, they could run the ball on every single offensive play, I think they'd still win the game. Like, they can hide Desmond Ridder, so I'm more confident that the Falcons can get it done here. And that's also why my prop bet in this game is the Drake London under on his receiving yards. Again, Drake London was on the over last week. He hit it with flying colors, but that was matchup-based. Like, he was facing the Buccaneers. New situation. He's on the road, facing the Carolina Panthers, who has a very underrated secondary, especially since they've gotten some of their guys back that were hurt throughout the season. Looking at Carolina, they're allowing the third fewest targets, eighth fewest yards to wide receivers this season. Now, a lot of it has to do with, like, because they're so bad against the run, that's what teams do. They just run the football against them. And I mean, we don't know everything about Arthur Smith, but what we do know is when he can run the ball, that's what he's going to do, over throwing the ball to any of his receivers and putting the ball in Desmond Ridder's hands. So I'd be concerned about starting Drake London in fantasy this week. I'm looking at the unders on his receiving props, even though he's coming off a big game. And I know it can be hard to bench a player coming off a massive game, but it was the Bucs and it was at home. On the road, he's been under his receiving yardage prop in four of his last six road games. So for me, I'm going to be fading Drake London and looking more at this running game to really drive the Falcons to victory here.
London led the league in receiving this week, right? I can't think of anybody who had more than 172.
I mean, he almost had like 180 yards.
Yeah, 170-something, yeah.
Yeah, 172. There's actually a lot of good running backs with, like, at the top of their rankings with really good matchups this week. Like, CMC is facing Arizona. Alvin Kamara is facing the Giants. Kyron Williams facing the Commanders. So where do you have Bijan ranked, Erickson? Like, I mean, it's just for fun. You're starting him anyway if you have him, but I'm curious kind of how aggressively you're going to be on him compared to consensus. He's RB4 in consensus.
I mean, I'm probably in that range. I haven't done my initial week 15 rankings yet, so we'll see where he stacks up. Maybe I'll put him ahead of Kamara just because I don't like the Saints offense, and I would rather just bet on Bijan. Bijan's getting more red zone work. Like, they're not using Khalil Algier nearly as much in the red zone. So if he's going to find that way to find and capitalize on some touchdowns, I think that this is the spot against the Carolina Panthers. So,
Joe, is Bijan going over 20 fantasy points? Yes or no?
Yeah, I think he is. And Carolina is just dreadful. But to Erickson's point, I mean, the dreadful numbers don't end with Desmond Ridder on the road just because he had a good game at home last week. So that'll be interesting to see. Does he take any confidence? Does he take anything? You saw him running a lot more, too, and getting out of the pocket, which is something in Cincinnati you saw him do. So I think that's an interesting version of Desmond Ridder that we haven't quite seen at the NFL level. So could this be the turning point game where all of a sudden the confidence builds and then he carries it with him on the road against Carolina? Maybe. But in terms of investing this week, I think it's probably safer to go where Erickson is, which is probably going very heavy in all your investments on Bijan and probably going lighter on Drake London, because I think the prisoner of the moment folks will try to chase what happened last week with London, and that could be a very dangerous chasing game.
Joe, stick with you for your next prediction.
All right, the next one has to do with Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields is still ranked very highly this week on my board and everybody's board, but he is facing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. And I was somebody very gung-ho last week on all the shows talking about the upset of, you know, the Detroit Lions in Chicago. So if you bet that, you did pretty well last week. But this week, I'm a little concerned here. He's going up against a Cleveland Browns offense that has allowed the fewest passing yards of any team, 2,335. And if you're looking here in terms of Justin Fields' fantasy value, you're starting him this week, okay? If you have him and Stafford, they're ranked back-to-back. That is a conversation we can have. But the rushing equity of Justin Fields is too much to pass, and let alone the touchdown equity. But in terms of your expectation of him having a monster game, I think you have to temper that. And I think he's going to be under 200 yards passing in this one. And I could see this number being set probably somewhere around 210 or 215 and a half. And I would still go under it. Now, he hasn't had a game under that since that first game back week 11. And if you go back and look at some of those other games too, you know, 282, 335, he's had some really big games here. And he's been over 200 in every game except the one he got hurt, the one against Detroit in that first game back, and then the one against the Kansas City Chiefs. Other than that, he has been over in every single time, but I think this one is a very dicey situation. Cleveland plays very good in that building. They are a tough defense. They get after the quarterback, and I think that's the problem too, where they're going to flush him out of the pocket a lot. So you might get a lot of Justin Fields running, but the passing yard specifically, I think that has to get knocked down a little bit, and it might temper your DJ Moore expectations a little too. Maybe some unders on him as well, who has been great with Fields, but this could be a tough day at the office.
Before we move on with the show, let's take a second to talk about Ayr Medicare Network. We talk a lot about what makes winners on this show, and there's one thing that all the teams, coaches, and players have in common: preparation. Planning is key in everyday life too, and a great way to be prepared for the unexpected is to join Ayr Medicare Network, America's largest air ambulance membership network. Ayr Medicare Network providers operate state-of-the-art helicopters that can respond to critically ill or injured patients who need emergency medical transport. These flights can be very expensive, but as an Ayr Medicare Network member, you won't see a bill for your flight only when flown by one of their providers. That's right, you would pay nothing. You can become a member of Ayr Medicare Network for just $99 per year. And right now, our listeners get up to an $80 MasterCard or Amazon e-gift card when they join and use offer code FANTASYPROS. That's FANTASYPROS with no spaces. Make financial peace of mind part of your game plan. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS. Erickson, I'll just move to your next prediction, which is actually about DJ Moore.
Yes, Joe and I are hand-holding here. So I'm going DJ Moore under his receiving yardage prop this week just because I hate the matchup. Like, I know DJ Moore has been lights out with Justin Fields, connecting on a lot of big plays. But looking at last week, you know, he got over on his receiving yards because of a offsides penalty and Justin Fields hit him deep. Like, that was the reason that put him over. You know, that's what accumulated the most of his yards last week. So, look, the Browns matchup, especially on the road, I'm seeing question marks still about should the Bears draft a quarterback or should they keep Justin Fields? And in my opinion, when that's a question, that means that the quarterback's not the guy. Like, you should have zero question marks or zero hesitation about your quarterback. And if you do, then he's probably not the guy you want to invest in the long term. And I think that this Browns game is going to be another reason why the Bears ultimately move on from Justin Fields, because I don't think that he's going to rise to the occasion, especially against just such a tough defense. We saw him play the Vikings a couple weeks ago, and he was horrible. Like, he could not get it done. So I think he's going to be using his legs more, as he tends to do when he can't deliver the throws. And I think DJ Moore is going to struggle as a result on the road. Just looking at the Browns secondary, defense has held wide receivers to the fewest receiving yards per game this season. So I think this is a down game for DJ Moore.
Yeah. First of all, on the in terms of them, you know, kind of moving on from Fields, I'd be really interested to see Fields with a better coaching staff, with, let's say, Marvin Harrison and Joe Alt, like adding a top offensive tackle and a top wide receiver, plus you still have DJ Moore, plus a better coaching staff. I just think the fact that you get the rookie contract with, you know, a Caleb Williams or Drake May or whatever is like enough of a reason to
move
on. But
you have to restart. See, that's the problem, is you got to restart, you got to develop, and then you have to have the right coaching staff to develop that quarterback. Yeah. And I don't know if they do necessarily, so or where that other coach is coming from, unless you go hire an Eric Bieniemy or somebody like that this offseason. But I think if you give him Harrison and another offensive lineman for protection, this defense has really come around. Sweat has been a revelation for them. He's been getting to the quarterback. Brisker's a terrific player. you could be competitive, especially if you're looking at that North right now. Minnesota, I think, obviously has had its issues this year. Green Bay is still a team that is up and down. And the Detroit Lions maybe are not the juggernaut people thought they were.
Yeah, no, I'm torn. I could make a justifiable case either way, but I think there is a case to be made for keeping Fields and adding two elite players around him. The part of the problem too is Eberflus has turned the defense around. So the question is maybe they don't move on from him, but I think you need to hire an offensive coach for whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Fields
who
or
stays. So who stays? Else. Eberflus or Fields?
I think both, and they hire a different coordinator perhaps.
I think most likely scenario is either both or neither. I don't think just one of them will stay, but that's
you're probably right.
That's just a guess. Quickly on DJ Moore, he has been amazing in every game that Fields has been healthy. Like, he's gone over basically like 20 fantasy points in PPR every week that Fields has been healthy. So Erickson, like, I know obviously the matchup is not great, but like, he's been so good that even if he comes down a little, he's still startable, right? Or are you like trying to get off of him?
I mean, I just would temper expectations. I mean, that's why you can play player props. And,
yeah.
And that's why you bet that you can bet the under the receiving yards, but he can still catch a touchdown. Like, yeah. it kind of follows a similar sentiment where you can take advantage of a bad matchup, but the guys can still score points. And there's a difference between like scoring like less points and scoring 0 points. Like, it's not like DJ Moore's going to go out and like go 0-0-0. Like, he'll do something. And that's going to be important in every single fantasy lineup where no one is going to get their lineup exactly right. So even on the margins, even a down game from DJ Moore could still be a lot better than starting some fringe guy off the waiver wire.
Joe, give me your number two prediction for the week.
All right, here we go. Number two, Devon Achan, 100 yards rushing versus the Jets. The Jets have allowed the third most rushing yards, over 1,700 already this year. And I think you're going to get a nice number here set by the books because he's coming off a down game, but that's against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans are great against the run. You saw them trying to get Achan going. They were not able to do that. They've tried to get him on the outside, and look, they did a great job. Give the Tennessee Titans defense a lot of credit. They are very physical up front, and they get after it, and they play sideline to sideline. However, if you just go back and look a week ago, in his first game back, he had 17 carries for 73 yards, and if Tyreek Hill is not 100%, right, there's a good chance they're going to have to lean on this run game with Mostert and Achan. So if that indeed becomes the case, this could be another huge day for Devon Achan, and I'm also not copying and pasting the Zach Wilson incredible performance that we got last week. I don't know if that travels to Miami, but this is a game where Miami really has to win. Like, and you know, you hate saying must win, all these things, but it is. It's a must win here. You beat the Jets, you get back on track in that playoff race. And I think that they are going to find clever ways to get this man the football. But in terms of that rushing equity, he has got that in spades. And you know he is a very dangerous, explosive player. And you know the strength of the Jets is that secondary. So let's beat the Jets where they're weakest, which is up front. And I think you're going to see a lot of Mostert and a lot of Achan. I would bet both of them. In terms of like Achan's number, it could be as high as 75.5. It could even be as low as 70.5. But you could even bet the alternate line all the way up to 100 if you want to get some plus money on that. So you could take it at the 70 plus, 80 plus, 90 plus. And if you're really feeling lucky, the 100 plus and add that touchdown in there too. And you could have a really good investment day on Achan. But I think he is a guy. Don't be worried about what you saw last week. You start him in your playoff matchups this week and you go for it against the Jets.
I'm so curious to see what this Dolphins offense looks like in the fantasy playoffs. They go Jets, Cowboys at Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy matchups, but exploitable in specific ways. So how this offense adjusts week to week, I think it's going to be really fascinating. Achan is such a tough guy for me to really put my finger on in terms of ranking him, because obviously everybody knows the upside just in terms of touchdowns and explosive plays and everything you would want out of a fantasy running back. But he also has been injured so much and then wasn't very great last week. His current ECR, again, it's early in the week, is RB17 for the week. Erickson, does that sound too high, too low, just right? I know you haven't done your initial rankings yet, but where do you think you'll have him ended up?
I think it sounds right. I mean, I think for this week, I'm probably going to rank him behind Raheem Mostert, because Raheem Mostert is the guy that they prefer to use on early down. Like, you want Achan in the games where the Dolphins are trailing, like, because he's the guy they're using more in the passing game. He had 9 targets against the Titans. Raheem Mostert had 1. So that's really where you get him out in space, and no one's complaining about him, especially in fantasy points, if he catches that touchdown from Tua on that downfield throw. Like, if he catches it, he's going to rip off, like, whatever, an 80-yard touchdown, and no one's going to be complaining. So it's the receiving usage. I think that's key. I think you're going to see more of that probably against Dallas. I think it's Baltimore versus the Jets, which probably will be more of a slog than a, like, projected shootout.
Quick reminder for everyone to download the free Betting Pros app for iOS and Android. With the app, you can use Sportsbook Sync to automatically track your bets across all major sportsbooks conveniently in one spot. Easily track your best performance by sport and bet type, including game picks, props, and parlays. Get personalized bet recommendations tailored to your interests. Again, that's with the free Betting Pros app for iOS and Android. Let's move now to Erickson's top prediction for the week, which also happens to be our Uber Eats prediction. We'd almost guarantee. Erickson, what do you got?
The big dog's got to eat. Derrick Henry, over 100 rushing yards against the Houston Texans. You know, I almost thought about putting 200 yards here, but this isn't a bowl prediction show. This is just a regular prediction show. So I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here. Derrick Henry is coming off a down game, but what do you got, guys? He was on the road. He was on the road against the Dolphins. Of course he's going to go under his rushing yards. Not this week. At home. Against the Texans defense, that actually is not as bad against the run as it's been in years past. They actually have not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season long, but it's December, guys. We know what Derrick Henry does in December at home. So I think that he's going to pick up where he left off against the Texans. Look at his last game logs, last six, 200, 120, 200, 200, 200, and 80 rushing yards. I think that Derrick Henry's just going to, at home, he's going to eat here. So go big dog.
Yeah, we talked about this on one of the trade shows on some Tuesday early in the season, talking about just the fact that he gets the Texans multiple times in December in the fantasy playoffs is the most obvious like start and be happy about having Derrick Henry of all time. I mean, yeah, Joe, there's no way you can get away from Derrick Henry against the Texans, right?
No, absolutely not. And depending on what the health of is the collective Texans, you know, I hate to feel like this, but it feels a little bit like the Texans are starting to fall apart and Cinderella's glass slipper has, you know, has broken off and, you know, the carriage is a pumpkin again and all that crazy stuff. But I will say this, if you're not going to get Stroud in that game, and we all know there's like a 20% chance that he plays with most of these guys in terms of the concussion protocol, and Nico Collins is hurt, you don't have Tank Dell anymore. Like, this could be a very, very good day for Derrick Henry potentially and running out clock. So I would not overreact to the low yardage total from last night. Instead, I would point to the fact that he's got two touchdowns in three straight games. That, my friends, is where the fantasy points are coming from.
Here's a prediction from me. The food you've been craving can be delivered to your door through Uber Eats. Get food from your favorite restaurants, plus groceries and other essentials delivered straight to your front door with Uber Eats. This football season, stay planted on your couch and get anything, well, almost anything you need for game day by ordering on the Uber Eats app. Uber Eats, the official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now, alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details. Joe, take us home with your number one prediction.
All right. It is against predictions, but maybe we'll have to be bold too. Maybe we'll do a double dip here. Christian McCaffrey, 150 rushing yards versus the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are coming off a bye, but they are still a very, very bad rushing defense. The second worst in the league. They've given up 1,800 yards already, if you can believe it, on the ground. And Christian McCaffrey has just looked fantastic. This 49er team is absolutely rolling. Now, he has had one 150-yard rushing game all year, and it was in week one. He had 145 last week, so obviously very busy breaking some big runs last week, especially early in that game. But fortune favors the bold. Or at least that's what Matt Damon told me when he was trying to sell me cryptocurrency a few years ago. Let's say he has a shot for 175. I don't want to go to 200. That's crazy. But I think this is what you do here. You are somebody that are paying up for him in DFS this week. If you're out of fantasy playoffs and you're looking for some action, he is your cash game guy. It's going to be expensive. Last week on FanDuel, he was 10,500. But there are ways to make it work. There's going to be some good wide receivers, tight ends, and even quarterbacks you can pivot down to. I imagine this number is going to set at least at 105.5. It could even be as high as 115.5, depending on how it gets bet early. But again, I would be looking for the alt lines all the way up to 150. I think you can get up to that 150 mark with him. And that's the only way to make value on him, because everything is so minus and heavily juiced when it comes to McCaffrey. For a single touchdown, forget it. The juice is insane. It's going to be minus two something. So you don't even want to touch that. So what you have to do is look for two touchdowns. anytime. Now that you could probably get anywhere from 2 to 3 to 1, potentially on certain sites. And the first touchdown, you'll probably get something maybe in the 200 to 300 range too on the plus side again. So that's the way you make money with McCaffrey. You got to be specific. You got to buy in bulk and you got to be bold if you're going to go up there and get in the plus money, because everything with McCaffrey is so heavily juiced. But in this matchup against the Cardinals, I don't see how it does not come to fruition. So McCaffrey's going to have a monstrous day, but not just a normal McCaffrey monster day. We're talking the upside for even 200 yards, but I think 170, that range could be attainable. It could be a magical day for McCaffrey.
You know, Joe, you had the perfect opportunity to be truly bold here. The last time he faced the Cardinals, which was back in week 4, McCaffrey scored 4 touchdowns.
That's right.
Why don't you bet on that again?
Well, I did say the multiples, so I think the multiples is a good one. Look, and this one's in Arizona, so I don't think there's any problems there. I don't think we have to worry about this at all. But, you know, it's funny. Erickson brought up Tyreek Hill as an MVP candidate. I think CMC is in that conversation too. And you look at Dak and Brock Purdy at the top. Lamar is now pushing up to that 500 plus, you know, money. But Tyreek Hill is still 20 to 1. Christian McCaffrey is still 50 to 1. And I think we have to start to reprogram our brains and talk about what value is of some of these players, because I know Dak has played well. I know Purdy's played well. I know they're running their respective offenses. Same with Lamar. But if you take McCaffrey away from the 49ers, I think that's a very dangerous thing. If you take Tyreek Hill away from the Miami Dolphins, what do they look like? Obviously, we got that answer and it was pretty stunning. So I'd like to see those guys pushed to the forefront of that conversation in the next few years.
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad that you mentioned the game log, by the way, just on McCaffrey's like rushing yards, because at first I was like, this isn't that bold of a prediction, but he has only done it once, like you said, not since week 1. In fact, he only has 5 games on the season over 100 rushing yards at all, let alone 150, and 3 of those came in the first 4 weeks. Now he gets so much work, you know, in the end zone. He scores touchdowns for fantasy managers every week. He gets so much work in the passing game. So it's not like he's hurt fantasy managers, obviously, but it is interesting that the rushing yards specifically, he does have in 2 of the last 3 weeks, but prior to that, it hadn't been since week 4 he'd even gotten into the triple digits. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this prop, Erickson? How aggressive are you going on CMC?
I mean, I like the over. I've already bet some early stuff on McCaffrey in terms of his rushing yardage. Again, it's so fun with the 49ers because it's like, which overs do I want to bet on this week? Because you know they're going to go over just trying to pin which guy goes over. And the last couple weeks, it's really been everybody. And why can't it be everybody again? And, you know, with the matchup against the Cardinals, you look at the Cardinals at home this year, 6-0 towards the over. So I think we're going to get some pushback from the Cardinals side of their offense, which is going to increase the output for the 49ers offense. So I like all the overs in this game in the desert. It's a shootout. So sign me up.
By the way, Christian McCaffrey, 145 yards last week, his 3rd worst game by fantasy points this season. 3rd worst, and he had 145 yards on the ground. What an absolute legend. We will get out of there on that. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, if you did make the fantasy playoffs, good luck this week. Also, good luck on all of your prop bets. Hopefully, we were able to help you out there. For Erickson and Joey P, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see everybody again next week. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? a wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.